In my dream, I stand in a large room where people are sitting. I turn to see the herald walk through the door. He walks over to me and I ask who these people are. He says, they are lieutenants. I ask if they are military. He says to look again. I now see the large group as shiny, clean containers as clear as crystal. I look back to the herald and he says that a lieutenant means in waiting. He says to look again, and I now see they are once again people. The herald says they are clean vessels waiting to be filled with God's Spirit. The herald now says, please come, I have something I am to show you. We go to a place outside that I recall from the Stand on the Truth dream. I am once again standing in front of two rough-cut wooden beams. Each is about 12 inches square. One is about 7 feet long and has a 12 by 6 inch deep notch in the middle. The other is about 12 feet long with a 12 by 6 inch cut about 4 foot from the top. The herald says, as you were told, stand on the wood as the wood is truth. Watch closely. I watch as two men move the longer beam so that it lies lengthwise in front of us. They place the 7-foot beam on top of the 12-foot beam so that the two notches align and both beams come together to form a cross. On the left, two men each state they are innocent and resist as they are made to lie down on crosses. I look back to the cross in front of me and see Jesus coming forward. As he is lowered onto the cross, he willingly stretches out his arms, which are tied with ropes. As they nail his hands and feet to the cross, I see the blood. Tears come down his face. He looks back at me with the same eyes of love I have seen before. He says, what I do because I love you. Tell my people I love them and that I do this so they may live. Tell them to remember what I now do for them. The herald and I step back as the men raise the cross and drop it into a square cut into the rock surface. The hole is about 2 feet deep and a little more than 12 inches square. I look to the herald and he says, this is our Creator, Master, Teacher, and your Savior and Brother. I now sense that a lot of time has passed. I look up to see Jesus bow his head. He has died. A tremendous earthquake now violently shakes the cross. I realize that if it were not for the ropes that have Jesus secured to the cross, he would be thrown from it. There is now a large crack in the rock surface at the base of the cross. A soldier walks over to Jesus and with a spear pierces upward through his right side just under his rib. Blood and water run down his legs into the ground. I expect it to form into a puddle, but instead it disappears through the crack at the base of the cross. I ask the herald where all his blood is going. He says, that will be revealed for all to see, and pointing back up to Jesus, he continues, but in his time. I look up at the herald again, and he says, the wood is truth. Your brother died so you may live. He gave his blood so all may always live. Please come, there is more to show you. I am now in a church service. A leader walks back and forth up front as he speaks of the love and grace that Jesus has for us. Then he says, let's sing a song about this. Words are displayed on a large screen. They begin to sing, Jesus is love and Jesus is grace. Jesus is grace and Jesus is love. Raise your hands to Jesus. Ask for his grace. Thank you for your grace. We love you, Jesus. They sing this over and over as the people wave their arms. The herald says, come, I want to show you another worship service. We now stand in another sanctuary. The pastor finishes his sermon by reading from the Bible in a book titled The Great Controversy. He then reads from a book titled Testimonies to Ministers and says, from this we know that we should come before the throne of God. I invite those who would like to dedicate your life to God for the first time to come forward. If you would like to rededicate your life to God, I invite you to come forward. As many people come to the front of the church and kneel, the herald says to look closely at them. They are carrying two books, the Bible and a book titled Creeping Compromise. The herald says, notice they want to begin anew. They have read, studied, and seen the errors of their life, and now want to recommit their lives to Jesus. I turn to hear the pastor encourage others to come forward to accept the offering of the blood of Jesus and accept Him as their Savior. So many come forward that the pastor calls for elders and pastors in the congregation to lay hands on these individuals as he prays. The herald says he has more to show me. We are now in another church. I watch as several of the deaconess go to the coffee cart in the foyer. They are collecting many of the Danish pastries. Then they grab a large plastic jug of imitation grape juice from the cart. They walk to a side room and, while in casual conversation, cut the pastries into small pieces. They now pour the grape drink into small paper cups. Deacons come in and take the pastries and drink to the front of the church. They place these on the communion table and cover them with a white tablecloth. The pastor now walks out and tells the congregation how Jesus cleaned each of the disciples' feet and that we should do the same. He calls for the deacons to walk up and down the aisles to pass out wet ones so everyone can clean their own shoes. The pastor now says that Jesus, in love and grace, had his body broken for us. He takes the Danish pastries and these are handed out. Several take a large handful. Over here, someone complained that the women are cutting them into pieces that are too small. The pastor then says that the grape drink represents the blood that Jesus gave for us. He then has a grape drink passed out. Just before dismissing the congregation, the pastor says that the deacons will stand by the back doors with offering plates. He tells everyone to make sure they show how much they love Jesus by putting a large amount of money into the offering plates. The herald says, come, I have more to show you. I am now standing in a kitchen. A woman kneels in front of the sink and asks for God's guidance as she prepares to make communion bread. She gets up, washes her hands, and gathers the ingredients. After mixing these ingredients, she places it onto a baking pan and then into the oven. She sets a timer and then begins washing the small communion glasses. When the timer goes off, she removes the bread from the oven and cuts it into small pieces. After putting these onto a silver platter, she covers it with a pure white cloth and kneels in front of it. She prays aloud that God will bless what she has just prepared. The cloth now glows a bright white. The herald now takes me to a church service where the pastor says it is time to separate for the foot washing. He explains how there is one room for women, one for men, and another for married couple to use in private. He says for all to take their time and to assemble when all are finished. They separate and I first observe the men. Before they wash each other's feet, they pray and ask the brother to forgive them for anything they may have done. They ask for God's guidance on the brotherly love they have. I see fathers serving their sons and brothers serving each other. Many begin to cry. I am then shown the women's area. Mothers and daughters are praying together before serving each other. Sisters are praying and serving each other. I see those who have had disagreements come together. They all seem to understand that this is a special time to remember. I now watch the married couples come together in private. Each would ask for forgiveness of the other and ask God that their marriage be sanctified again. The herald says to come, we are now in the sanctuary again. The pastor stands and says, today we remember why it says on the front of the communion table, do this in remembrance of me. Holding up the communion bread, he states how it symbolizes Jesus coming to this earth as our brother. How he gave his life for us and died. He adds, as we partake of this, let us ponder the sacrifice he made for each of us. Take, eat, This is a symbol of his holy body he gave so we may live. Soon, he says, we accept this grape juice as a symbol of the blood Jesus shed for us. It is through his blood that the King of the universe came from his heavenly throne, spread out his arms, and without resistance allowed himself to be crucified for us, so that we may have eternal life. As we drink this juice, let us remember the sacrifice Jesus made for each of us. There is a period of silence. I look up at the herald, and he tells me to look out over the congregation. Many angels fold their wings and bow their heads in respect. The herald explains, the angels understand the tremendous sacrifice our Creator has made. The blood of Jesus, our Creator and our Master, was the victory over sin. It is through his blood that Satan, who once stood next to God, has been defeated. Through the blood of Jesus, you can now stand victorious. Jesus asked for all to remember what he did for you. Through his blood, Jesus made the most ultimate sacrifice. Praise be to God, Lord of all, Creator, and he who came, your Savior. The herald then says, Jesus created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Jesus can also destroy the earth in 6 days. When he does, all will rest on the seventh day. Time is short, and soon those that hold back the winds will be instructed to let go. All who know the wrath of God, repent now lest you be found wanting and not be able to repent of your sins. Time is short. Look to the east and remember, your Savior comes.